for tape, CDs, DVDs to our publication Voices from Zexant Glory, Declaring the Kingdom, write P.O. Box 21516, Hot Springs, Arkansas, zip 71903. Our website is www.LakeHamiltonBibleCamp.com and LHBCOnline.com. There are hundreds of free audio files there. It's like going to Bible school at home. This is the 2019 Summer Family Teaching and Deliverance Camp Meeting being held at Lake Hamilton Bible Camp in Hot Springs National Park, Arkansas. Saturday afternoon, July the 6th, 2019, Carla B. Todd is the speaker of the service teaching on God's Order for Family. This is now the conclusion of this message from Part A.
So that is what I really wanted to tell y'all about that. Women, you need to look at your husbands in a different light. One of the definitions of repent, and as women and wives, I know I had to repent for being disrespectful to my husband. I did everything but take the Bible and beat him over the head with it to get him saved. And one time I was so frustrated. Lord, when will he ever become the head of this house? And God said, when you stop. That was a shock. Those finances were killing me, literally. I was crying, trying to figure out how to pay these bills. And because Mike didn't really look at the bills, he didn't even know what really owed. And it was madness. And I'm crying and crying out to God. And God said, you know what? I didn't design you to carry that weight. Now, I know a lot of people would say, now, wait a minute, because I hear the team, whoever does it best, let them do it. Well, that might work in the world, but God has an order. He told me to hand it all over to Mike. I was terrified. I said, well, Lord, you'll never get any more money. You know, I was tithing. He didn't tell me. He said, hand it all over to Mike. Well, if he was in here, he would object. But I'm telling you the honest truth. There were a couple of times that our electricity was turned off because he had failed to pay the bill. He just didn't do it. And a couple of times our phone was disconnected. And then we had some credit card debt, and they started calling me at the house. Oh, let me give you his number at work. They would call him at work. I turned it all over to him. Well, guess who pays the bills today? And I don't have the burden of that. I don't know. And I know that I probably should. And if I wanted to know, I'd ask him, and he would tell me. How much do we have in our account? I used to have to know every dollar that was in my wallet. And that's important because, you know, you can't spend what you don't have. And Mike would say, it comes in pretty handy down here, bub. Money. You got to have money, you know. But when you structure your whole life around money, that becomes a problem. God is our provider. If you need something, go to God for it. I quit asking, you know, and that was a hard thing for me because, you know, you get married and then you put your money together and I didn't feel like I had a right to spend any of it. But I would ask him, and he would say yes. But, I mean, I'm just telling you, there are a lot of things that cause a lot of problems in marriage that we need to get them in order, proper order. So, okay, let's see now. What was next? Oh, okay, the children. In the home, we talked last night about it. We wrestle not with flesh and blood. I'm going to give you a couple of testimonies that happened with my grandchildren, because I didn't know this stuff when my children were growing up. And I'm glad to see people here that haven't had babies yet and people that have small children to start learning about these spirits. And when you see it, and especially if you get deliverance in an area in your life, that seed is already in your baby. The seed of whatever it is that you struggle with, that demon, they're passed down through the bloodline. And that was the other thing I wanted to tell you, make you aware of. You know, your grandpa might have been an alcoholic. and then the son or the daughter, the grandchildren may not be alcoholics. It usually does run in families, and it rarely skips a generation, alcoholism or addiction of any kind. But they may experience the same manifestations, like cirrhosis of the liver. You may get liver disease that, well, that's crazy. I've never drank in my life. That is called a familiar spirit that came down the bloodline. It's not alcoholism itself, but it's things that are familiar to alcoholism. Familiar spirits operate here. Demons operate in our flesh. And what God showed me is when you cast out a spirit, command the familiar spirits of that, whatever you're dealing with, away from the person. I learned that right here because a woman came, she had a spirit of whoredom. She had sex with every man she ever dated, and she hated it. And I was happy to tell her, that's not you. That's an evil spirit, and we can get rid of that. Okay, we did. She got delivered of that. Well, she came back some months later, and she said, it's gone. It's just wonderful. You know, I don't struggle with that anymore at all. She said, but here's the curious thing. The only kind of men that are attracted to me are those looking for a whore. And I said, really? That's curious. I mean, I asked the Lord, Lord, show me what it is, because I don't know what this is. And that's when he started showing me familiar spirits. She had been behaving like a whore because of the demon of whoredom. But out here were the familiar spirits. We got rid of the demon, but the familiar spirits were still there. And they operate in the spirit realm. And familiar spirits like to get together. That's why when we have family camp, I bind familiar spirits. Because everyone coming has the demon that they're trying to get rid of and the familiar spirits of that demon. And there might be somebody else here that has the same problem, and we don't want the familiar spirit bringing them together and strengthening the demon in the person. Does that make sense? That's how you hear stories about a Christmas party and people that don't even know each other. They're both in a bad marriage, but they don't even know each other. But they end up leaving the party together in some hotel and having sex together. And you think, how in the world did that ever happen? It's familiar spirits. It works the same way with people who have been molested. You have children, those familiar spirits are there, and the familiar spirits of molestation get the attention of the molester and draw them to each other. I always wondered, why that one and not that one? And I'm sure that people who have been molested are asking, why me? Why did that happen to me? And I taught on these kind of things, and there was, it was a women's conference, and there was a lady here. Afterwards, she came up for prayer. She was in her 70s, and she could barely walk down the aisle. She was so shook up. Because she had been raped at the age of 16. Never told a soul. Her daughter was raped at 16. And now she had a granddaughter that was 15. And she was about to lose her mind over worrying about that 15-year-old girl being raped when she was 16. So it's important to get rid of familiar spirits. And they trap one. You know why they're called familiar spirits? Because they're familiar with the demon. And they travel in families just like demons do. So if you pray for somebody and you cast out a demon of whoredom, command every familiar spirit of whoredom away from that person and never to come back. And the soul ties. You know, you get soul ties from people. When I go to bed, when I come, you know, I talked about soul ties one time. I break the evil soul ties, and they said, or I'll pray my witchcraft prayer. Well, do you even do that when you're at a conference? And I said, I especially do it when I'm at a conference. Because I don't know y'all. I know some of you, but I don't know all of you. Some people want to come up and give me a hug. Hey, I know. I had this happen one time. A lady was here. She was very attentive to me. I thought it was kind of strange, but I understand it now because God has taught me about these things. But she wanted to know if I was going to go upstairs to the ladies' meeting, and I said, you know, I'm really, really tired. I'm thinking about wanting to take a nap. Oh, can I pray for you? Well, yes, please do. She grabbed me on the back of the neck like you would pick up a cat with the skin. That's what she did. I mean, it was extremely painful, but I was polite to the devil. I didn't want to act like she was hurting me. And she knew she was hurting me. She was squeezing the back of my neck till I wanted to punch her, but I was just hurrying up. Get to amen already, you know? But I want you to know that in the middle of the night that night, I was awakened in severe pain, and I could not move. I could not move. And I knew it was related. And it was a witchcraft curse. They're real. And you can go on LHBConline.com, and I did a teaching here on witchcraft. You need to listen to it, because we don't have a clue as how the kingdom of darkness works. I'll just give you an example. Frank Marzullo Sr., I was at a conference with him in 2001, and he flew there, and I drove there. So he said, would you drive me to the grocery store? I said, sure. So we're at the grocery store, and we're walking in, and there was a penny on the parking lot, and I bent down and picked it up, and he scurried over there, and I mean, slapped my hand till the penny went flying, and it hurt. I said, what did you do that for? He said, because what you don't know is witches will go to the bank and get rolls of coins, and then they go to their meeting, and they put those coins down, and they project curses on them. And then they each take a roll of coins, and they drive all over the city and throw out dimes and nickels and quarters and pennies, and when you pick it up, you pick up a curse, and you don't even know it. Now, that sounds ridiculous, but it's real. And we found it out. My mama is always looking for money on the ground. And we were at a restaurant where you throw the peanuts on the floor. While you're waiting, they give you peanuts, and the shells are all over the floor. She spots a penny in those shells, bends down, picks it up. And I remembered what Uncle Frank did. And I said, Mama, listen, we need to break the curse off of that penny. Now, my brother was a Methodist preacher. He was with us. It was Mother's Day. He goes, oh, Carla, don't be ridiculous. And I said, and then the waitress comes up. See, distraction. We didn't break the curse off the penny. Your table's ready. They take us to the table. No mention of the penny anymore. I'm on the eating. So when the dinner was over, and my mother always drives a brand new car. It's always in tip-top shape. Never, ever. I don't think she's ever been stranded on the road, or her car's broken down, or the battery's been dead. She just has good cars and takes good care of them. And my brother, preacher brother, went and got the car and drove around to the sidewalk so my mama could get in the car. We all got in the car. Coonk. That car shut off immediately. Well, Mike got out, because my brother David doesn't know anything about cars. He's a Methodist preacher. He knows about golf. He knows about free dinners, all that kind of stuff. But he didn't know anything about cars. So Mike got out, gets under the hood. He's checking everything. So I don't see any reason why the car is not running. Had gas, full oil. All the spark plugs, everything's connected. And my brother's sitting there, and he looks in the rearview mirror. I was in the back. He goes, hey, Carl, maybe it was that penny. And I went, we forgot to break the curse off of that. Hey, my mama had to buy a new motor, I'll have you know. You think she doesn't break the curses off pennies? She did one time. She picked up, she's learned her lesson. She picked up another penny years later, didn't break the curse off of it, and somebody backed into her car while she was in Walmart. You know, we are not to be ignorant of his devices. And we do need to know how he works. Not to be scared of it, but to be wise. So when I go to bed at night, when I go to a, even every day when I go to bed, if I've been out in the world, that, you know, Jesus, they would wash their feet. They would wash your feet when you came into the house. That was symbolic of washing the dirt of the world off of you. So I lay down at night. Lord, I break evil soul ties with anybody who touched me in an unholy manner. That doesn't take very long. That doesn't take very long. Because soul ties can be formed just through a touch. Sometimes just through a look. So I'm telling you these practical things. You know, I told my husband, I said, I like to talk about these things because to you younger ones that are here, I don't want it to take you 30 years, nearly divorced, shipwrecked, you know, suffering all these things to learn all these lessons. I've learned them. I want to share what I've learned with you so you don't have to suffer the same things. You know what that is? That's wisdom. When you can learn from someone else's mistakes or someone else's lesson, if you learn from them, that is wisdom, so you can avoid the pitfalls. Okay? And about your children, when you see those things in your children, God spoke to me one night when I was angsting about something that had happened in our home. And he said, you need to stop being polite to the devil. I was like, what? He said, you're too polite to the devil. That girl that was squeezing the back of my neck, I was polite to the devil. I should have knocked her hand away from me. I don't want you praying for me. Thanks, but no thanks. And I remember Dr. Null, somebody said, I would just like to pray for you. Well, thank you, but I don't think so. And I'm like, oh, Dr. Null, that is so rude. That's so unkind. That's what I'm thinking. Because, these, you know, it would offend the people. Well, guess what? The devil knows that we're supposed to be nice. And he'll use it. So I'm not polite to the devil anymore. Now, my little granddaughter, when she was two, that's why I didn't want to talk about any of this stuff last night, because the kids were in here. When she was 2 years old, y'all that have heard some of my teachings have heard this story. But it was the same day that God said, you need to stop being polite to the devil. So we're out on the porch, and she's picking flowers off my vine that grows on the rail. And she brings you, oh, thank you. Oh, Grammy loves it. You know, just carried on. She brought me about 75. And the game got over. You know, okay, Grammy has many flowers. I don't need any more flowers. And she looked at me like, I will decide when it's enough. I mean, it was a look. And I thought, okay, this is fixing to be a battle. Look, Grammy's got a book over here. Come over here and let Grammy read you this book. And I felt a little nudge. You're going to be polite. You're going to distract the devil? And I was like, oh, my goodness. And I knew that it was rebellion. That was rebellion. And I pointed that finger at her. I said, in the name of Jesus, you spirit of rebellion. And, you know, she went from this to this. It was like I had said, attention. And she stood up. And I commanded that spirit of rebellion, I bound it, I break its power, I command it to get out of her. You will not live in my grandbaby. And she went, amen. And I did laugh because it just shocked me. I didn't even know she knew to say amen. But no, don't be polite to the devil. Don't be polite to the devil with your children. And I thought that it would scare her for me to talk like that. It didn't. I wasn't talking to her. And somehow the demon was up at that time, and I was speaking to the demon. It didn't even face her. She said, amen. But your children don't come here innocent. My daughter one time, Mama, look at that little baby. Well, now that I know what I know, I said, yeah, brand new package of demons with a different face. She went, Mama. I said, well, it is. I mean, we love them, but they'll lie to you. They'll cry for no reason at all. I mean, you start seeing those things, and it's, okay, so you can do deliverance with your children. My granddaughter had the worst grade in her math class, which the teacher publicly let her know. Passing out tests. Johnny, he'll come get his test. Sue, she comes and gets her. Kaylee, you have the worst grade, the lowest grade in this class. You need to study. She told me that one night, and it just crushed me. I said, what did you do, Kaylee? Did you cry? She said, I wanted to, but I didn't. I said, well, here's what you need to know. That was a mean thing that she did. But we wrestle not with flesh and blood. So if it's not the teacher, what is it? It's an evil spirit in the teacher. And that is a mean man spirit, a bully spirit. I said, so what we're going to do, I said, first of all, I know she hurt you. Now that you know that it wasn't her, but it's an evil spirit, can you forgive her? Yeah. I said, okay, I forgive her too. I wasn't happy about it at all either. So, and then it occurred to me, so we forgave her, and then we, bam, I said, now we're going to start binding that mean man spirit in that teacher, and she's not going to do this to you anymore. Because God has more power than the devil. Okay, so then it occurred to me, wait a minute. I was horrible in math. Now she's horrible in math. This is a curse. This is fear of math. This is just a generationally inherited curse of not being able to understand math. I said, Granny wants to pray for you. So I prayed the Arrested Development prayer on her and cast out the spirit of fear, the spirit of fear of math, the spirit of not understanding. I just prayed my heart and cast those spirits out of her. Before the year was over, she had the highest grade in her math class, and it's one of her favorite subjects. That is powerful. That is what dealing with these spirits can do for your children. When Connor, he's living with my son right now because of some problems with my daughter, but I have some good news. That's turned around, and she is doing wonderfully. She very proudly told me the other day, Mama, I opened my very first checking account and savings account. She's got a job that she's been working since last October. So things are looking up. Kyle has a wonderful job. He is doing better. So I'm looking for a turnaround. The manifestation of the prayers that Mike and I have been praying over our kids for a long time, going to the enemy's camp and taking back what he stole from us and our kids. And so, but Connor is a real challenge. And Wade was talking to me about some of the things. You know, Mom, the teacher called, and he doesn't interact with any of the kids. He acts silly, he acts out, he's making a fool of himself. And I said, Wade, you know, the spirit of rejection, that's what the spirit of rejection does. Someone who has suffered rejection, that demon causes them to behave in a way that people will reject them. And then that demon says, see, nobody likes you. Nobody wants to be around you. That's what the spirit of rejection does. I said, Wade, it would be such a help to him. This is the Mormon. If you would understand that this is a spiritual thing, and Jesus Christ gave us authority over demons. And if you would stand up, when he goes to sleep, very quietly just go in there and say, you spirit of rejection that is causing him trouble, I bind you and break your power and command you to get out of him. The spirit of rebellion, everything that you have seen in the house, his behavior, that's what you call it. Remember the apple tree? We call it an apple tree because it has apples. Call a demon what it does. And so we got off of the phone. He didn't say he would. He didn't say he wouldn't. And therefore, I didn't know. And I said, Lord, I don't know if he's going to do it or not. But there is no distance in the spirit. I go right now over that child, and I bind that spirit of rejection. I command it to get out of him. The spirit of rebellion, the behavior of acting like a thug, it's not interacting with his peers, all of that. And guess what? Three weeks later, I got a picture from Wade, and Connor's holding a little certificate, and he was named Student of the Month. Student of the Month. That is a miracle. That is the direct result of taking authority over demons. So dads, don't hesitate to stand in your priestly position, power, and authority. Jesus cast out demons. He's given that to us. And the husband is in the position of the priest, the head of the house. Don't hesitate to do it. Or your grandchildren. You have a spiritual authority over your grandchildren. I encourage you to use it. I have a lot of testimonies like that. Even other people that, you know, they get into fear, can't sleep. One girl would wake up two or three times a night to go check on her child because she had a fear something was going to happen to that child. She looked worn because she wasn't sleeping. And this is how easy deliverance is. Would you mind if I pray for you? Please. So Barry, I knew it was fear. I said, it is written that God has not given us the spirit of fear, but of power, love, and a sound mind. So I speak to that spirit of fear that's keeping her awake. I'm not even talking to her. I tell people, I'm not even, you don't even have to listen. I'm not talking to you. I'm addressing the thing that's causing you to fear. And I bound that fear, broke its power, and commanded it to get out of her in the name of Jesus. She wept and wept. Later she called me and said, guess what? I'm sleeping all night. That's how, it's not rocket science. And it's for every one of us to do. We have all been given this by Jesus Christ. And in the name of Jesus, that's where the power is. In the name of Jesus. Okay, well, I actually think y'all heard enough today. But those are just some things I wanted to share in marriage, share in children. But I do want to take care of that Adam anger, Eve anger thing. I'll never forget the first time I did this here. There was a couple sitting over here. I said, look at your mate and say, honey. And she reared back like, she gave me like the Katie look. I said, or you can wait and do it later at home. I thought she was fixing to attack. But if your husband or wife is not here with you, this is the process. Honey, would you forgive me for being angry, subconsciously angry at you for what Adam did? That's how you ask the forgiveness for that. Would you forgive me for being angry at you? Because, listen, this subject of the Adam and Eve thing, hey, it can cause some dissension quick. That the men have an opinion about it and the women have an opinion about it. It's a power thing. But that's not what it's all about. It's about, he has given us the ministry of reconciliation. We need to use it. So, ask your husband to forgive you for being angry at him because Adam blamed Eve. And we are all Eves. And y'all are all Adams. So, and then the husband would say, and I do this with people in prayer when they come together as a married couple. I do this with them because it could be the root to all of their dissension. And they have come back and told me, you know what, that made a huge difference in our relationship. I said, I don't doubt it. So if the wife says that to the husband, the proper response is, yes, honey, I forgive you. And then the husband says, honey, would you forgive me for being mad at you for what Eve did? That's the Adam anger, Eve anger. And then forgive each other standing in that place of Adam and Eve. It's powerful. It's amazing what a difference it will make in your relationship. And then standing as partners, 49% and 51%. But come together and share with each other how you feel about a certain thing. And always consider what God has said about the matter. That's important. And wives, go to God before you go to your husband. This not only works in a marriage, but when Katie told me she was going to apply for certain jobs, this is the one I really would like to have, though. I said, Lord, I'm asking you to send your Holy Spirit and ministering angels to that, whoever that man is that's going to do the hiring. And I ask you to prepare his heart to receive her application and put favor on it, that when he picks it up, he'll say, this is the one. I mean, it says, let your request be made known to God. It's amazing. And if you're having a problem with someone and you have to go talk to them about it, Lord, I ask you to send your Holy Spirit and your ministering angels to minister to their heart, to prepare them to receive what I have to say in the spirit that I'm saying it. And I find the lying spirit that will catch my words and project them in a lying way. You know, that's powerful. Makes a huge difference in how things turn out. So, Father, we just thank you right now. We thank you for your love of family, for the order that you've placed in the family. We thank you for children, the blessing. You know, the Bible says that children are a blessing. And sometimes I would look at that and look at what we were going through and think, how is this a blessing, Lord? Let me tell you one time, funny. This is funny. Something had happened in the house. I was mad at Mike and I was mad at Kyle. And I said, Lord, your word says that you have suffered everything that is known to man. But you've never had a mate and you've never had a teenage son. How can you say that? And later, I was in my bathtub reading a book, and I heard, hey, you know the voice of God. My sheep know my voice. He said, hey, the church is my bride, and you're all my children. And I thought, seriously, I had never thought about that. God had two children to begin with, and they both let him down. So if you have problems with your children, if you have prodigals, if you have problem children, I've done teachings, LHBConline.com. It's called When They Don't Go the Way They Should Go. You know, the word says train them up in the way they should go. When they are old, they will not depart from it. But what do you do when they don't go the way they're supposed to go? Well, I did a teaching and shared everything that God instructed me during those times. And you can learn from those. Resurrected marriage. There's one called Being a Woman. The Adam anger, Eve anger is on there. So you can go listen to those. There's a lot more to it. I'm just hitting the high points. But anyway, so Father, right now, in the name of Jesus, I bind every spirit of division, every spirit of division that has come between husbands and wives. I bind every spirit of ignorance, really, of not knowing who we are in Christ and the position that we stand in and then operating in that position. I call forth right now, the godly, mighty men, and I call forth the mighty, godly women. I ask you to place the mantle of the husband now that they know their place, their position, and the importance of that position. Let that mantle fall and let it rest on their shoulders, yoke to you, and be the savior of the body, of their little family. The church is made up of a lot of little bodies. That becomes the church. Godly families coming together make the body of Christ. Lord, so that your families can be healthy, so that your marriages can be strong. The church is only as strong as families are. And that's why Satan loves to destroy families, because he knows if he can destroy the family, he's getting closer to destroying the body of Christ. And we have to protect those institutions with everything that's in us. I bind the spirit of Jezebel and Ahab. I didn't get to those, but you can look it up on LHBCOnline.com. Because everywhere that's that familiar spirit. Jezebel's looking for someone to control, and Ahab's looking for someone to do it all. And those familiar spirits draw them together, and we think it's fate. That's why it's good to get rid of those spirits before you get married, or soon into your marriage, so that you're not being used by those demons for destruction. That's what they are. So I bind every spirit of Ahab in here. It can be on a man or a woman. The spirit of Jezebel can be on a man or a woman. So every spirit of Ahab, I break your power and command you to get out right now of God's people. Every spirit of Jezebel, I break your power and command you to get out in Jesus' name. Marriage-breaking spirits, I bind you and break your power and command you to get out of God's people. You know, there is a scripture that says about Jezebel. It's in Revelation, I think it's chapter 3. I think it's 2. Where he says, I know your love, I know your charity, I know this and I know that, but I have somewhat against you, he says. Jesus says this. You have allowed that woman Jezebel. He's not talking about King Ahab's wife. She's long been gone. It is a spirit. It's an antichrist spirit that comes into churches and divides them and creates, it looses seducing spirits, so people end up having affairs. The preacher runs off with the choir director, or the choir director runs off with the youth pastor. All this nonsense. These are all demons. And that's why they are so prevalent, because people are not dealing with the demons. And if you don't deal with the demons, all you can do is have a mixture. And you control that demon. You don't let it manifest. You keep that one at home. You save that one for home. And I had a strong one. I could be everything I needed to be in church. And then I'd go home and act like the devil. And God took me out of everything and said, you've got to get it right in your home first. Be a witness. First in Jerusalem. That's where they were. Then in Judea. And then in all the earth. You will be a witness. You won't just go out witnessing and then acting like the devil. Your whole lifestyle will be a witness to people. That's what we need to be. We need to be witnesses. So, Father, I bind every religious spirit. I bind all spirits of work, the Pharisee spirit, religious spirits, antichrist spirits. You go right now in Jesus' name. Get out. Seducing spirits, go. Get out of God's people right now. Spirits of control, get out in Jesus' name. Manipulation, go in the name of Jesus. All spirits of witchcraft, get out in Jesus' name. Controlling spirits, we bind you and break your power. Spirits of shutting your responsibility and putting it off on somebody else. And I bind the spirit of false responsibility, thinking everything is your responsibility. I come against the savior spirit. I used to have that. Boy, what do you get? Everybody's saved. I bind that spirit of the Savior, being a Savior spirit, go in the name of Jesus. Self-righteousness, judgment, you go in the name of Jesus. Get out. Judgment, critical spirit, the critical eye, the evil eye, go in the name of Jesus. Dissension and strife, contention, go in the name of Jesus. Get out of God's people. The know-it-all spirit, go in the name of Jesus. Fear, the spirit of fear. Fear of being the leader. Fear of having to submit to the leader. Rebellion, stubbornness. Fear of authority. Go. In the name of Jesus, get out. Arrested development, go. You know what? You come from a home of dysfunction and you go get married and you just set up another house of dysfunction. Lord, teach us. Teach us how to be a wife. Teach us how to be a husband. Teach us how to parent our children. I command the familiar spirits of your mother. Go in Jesus' name. We've done a lot of breaking soul ties, but I command the familiar spirits of your mother, go in the name of Jesus Christ. All the familiar spirits of your daddy, go in the name of Jesus Christ. Leave God's people now. The familiar spirit of Jezebel. Maybe you're not a Jezebel, but you have some of her traits. Go. The familiar spirits of Ahab, go. In the name of Jesus. Get out. Lord, give us a heart to do your will. I loose upon your people obedience. I loose upon them peace. I loose upon them love. The love of the Father. In Jesus' name. And Lord, we thank you for this time together. And Lord, I ask that these will come back again and again and again. In Jesus' name. Every time we sit under a teaching and you don't know what was in your bloodline, we participate, say the prayers, because you don't know what was in your bloodline. He wants us to be free so that we can be free to be what he's called us to be. Lord, I ask you to stir up the gifts that you put into each one of us. We all have gifts. I ask you to stir them up. I ask you to begin to speak to them, line upon line, precept upon precept. When they read the word, that they will have ears to hear. You know what? Read your word out loud. It changed everything when I started reading it out loud, and God told me to read it out loud. Lord, how come I can't? Lord, how come I fall asleep? Lord, how come I'm making the grocery list while I'm reading? He said, read it out loud. It makes a difference. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word. So when you're reading it, you're hearing it. There are familiar spirits. I command all the familiar spirits of movies, books, go. In the name of Jesus, there are familiar spirits attached to just about everything. And we thank you, Lord, that you've given us this power to strip grave clothes off of each other. Lord, I ask you to bless the food. People say, well, what do y'all do at Lake Hamilton? I said, well, we meet and eat, and then we meet and eat, and then we eat. And then, well, when we used to have a meeting at 1:15, we used to go 6 o'clock in the morning, breakfast at 8, a meeting at 10, lunch at noon, a meeting at 1:15, the men and women would split up. I kind of missed that, actually. Then a 3 o'clock meeting, and then supper, and then a meeting at 7, and then we went to bed. So it was meet, eat, meet, eat, meet, meet, eat, meet, sleep. That's what we do at Lake Hamilton. Anyway, God bless you. I ask you to bless the food, Lord. We thank you for it. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen.
This is the end of this message. Our website is www.lakehamiltonbiblecamp.com. lhbconline.com and lhbconline.com. There are many hundreds of free audio files there. It's like going to Bible school at home. Thank you.